We'll proceed with the fourth case of the morning. It's Esther Hussey versus Milwaukee County. We have Mr. Ganser.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. May it please the court, Mr. Levy. My name is Michael Ganser. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm here today to represent Esther Hussey. Ms. Hussey is a woman who's in her late 80s. She started working for Milwaukee County in 1961, worked there in the Register of Deeds office for 30 years, retiring in 1991. The crux of the argument that brings us here today is this. In 1971, an ordinance was drafted and approved that provided for complete payment of all of the health care insurance for the employees and retirees at that time. So in 1971...
Insurance premium?
It was paid as a premium, that is correct. And the premium covered everything. There were no copays, no deductibles, no coinsurance, nothing. Complete coverage. Ms. Hussey goes on and retires in 1991 and is the beneficiary of that policy. In effect, paying nothing for her health care. That continued even at a point where the County of Milwaukee went from having a Blue Cross Blue Shield policy to being self-insured. In between there were other policies, HMOs, that sort of thing, but the concept was always the same. And the concept was that it was a complete coverage. Everything was paid. In 2006, for the first time, as far as we can tell, the county at that time had some point-of-delivery copays. For instance...
No, this is still where they're self-insured?
Correct.
Okay, so this is their, whatever you want to call it, their self-insured policy.
Right. But it wasn't modified by ordinance. This was done by administrative action. It wasn't until we get to 2011 that all of a sudden the county enacts an ordinance to be effective in 2012, which provided for some copays, deductibles, and coinsurance. And that is really what has given rise to this lawsuit today. The fact of the matter is this woman who, as the record is clearly shows, is elderly and has some significant health issues, but she comes to court because she is now being forced to pay certain sums of money, which have become a burden on her, to afford her health care.
Now, those sums, I want to clarify, those sums are paid in conjunction with some sort of treatment. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So otherwise, she's insured, she's under the policy and protected, but that policy as ordinance or whatever else does require some copay and whatever else is there.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Which didn't happen before.
Correct. And as you point out, it is something that is adjustable. If you're in good health, you have no cost. And if you're in poor health, like Ms. Hussey, it can be a significant portion of your retirement income.
Well, as Judge Keeney and I know, as you get older, you see the doctor more often.
Well, that's right. That's right.
Exactly. That was going to be my question to you, counsel. There was no grandfather or grandmother provision for any of these employees.
There was not, Judge Kane. In fact, I think one of the decisions of this court, I think, is applicable, Bidlack versus Wheelbrader, which is a 1993 case, an en banc case, where this court was dealing with some other issues, but essentially pointed out two things. Number one is that the court isn't going to be here to make up for the mistakes of poor economic planning or poor planning for, in that case, the future cost of medical care. And in part two of that decision, of the relevant portions, says that, you know, if they just drafted this the right way, we would have no doubt. There would be no doubt about this at all. Now, the 1971 ordinance talks about the Blue Cross Blue Shield, and we're going to pay the premiums. Subsequent to that, and that premium covered everything, subsequent to that, there were some other changes in the ordinances. In fact, frankly, they've changed them frequently, but with a couple of key things. In 1989 and then 1993, the language of the ordinance, which is 17.14 sub 7, provides for the first time an additional couple of words. It said that the county would pay the monthly costs or premiums. And then, in particularly the 89 version, they set up a second class of citizens, so to speak, of employees, saying that we're going to start charging deductibles and co-pays for those who start their employment in July of 1989, at the same time saying there would be none for those that started prior to that time.
This is the so-called, as Judge Caney was asking about, the grandfathering or grandmothering in.
That would be our view, yes. And again, I would point out that we're really here because of the poor drafting of ordinances. Because if you would accept the county's position on this, then the ordinance itself is exceptionally unclear, and it didn't at any point reserve the right to impose other costs or anything along those lines.
Mr. Gensel, wasn't the... putting the drafting of the ordinance aside for a second, wasn't the overall purpose, though, to provide retirees with the same types of and categories of benefits that active employees were receiving at the time? So that's, as I read it, that's the 1971 ordinance, that's what it said, right? It says we're going to provide Blue Cross Blue Shield for active employees, and it was later amended, by the way, we're going to do the same for retirees, and we're going to pay for those premiums. I mean, isn't that the plan all along? And that's one question. And if so, has that been consistently applied when it comes to Ms. Hussey?
Well, and that's a good point, Your Honor, because if we look at the ordinance of 1989 where they started separating classes of people, it would seem that, in fact, the opposite is true. So yes, does the ordinance suggest that the premiums would cover for retirees as well as active employees? I suppose it does. It doesn't say that. And there's no ordinance that says at any point that actives and retirees are going to be treated the same. There's nothing that says that the retirees will get X and X will be the same as the active employees. That doesn't appear anywhere, which kind of leads us to our problem. They paid this for 30 years, that their retirees were having to pay nothing towards their retirement.
And nor were the employees.
For the most part, until we get to the 1989.
See, we all recognize what's going on in the medical field now, and unfunded this, that, and the other thing. And when a county looks at the bottom line, says, you can't afford this. I assume Ms. Hussey isn't in a class by herself. I assume there are quite a few retirees are in her situation.
There are, Your Honor. And the district court had us do, in effect, the liability portion of this case before even addressing those other issues.
Why, too? Sure.
Yes.
No, this is probably pretty large.
Of course it is, yes. So, Your Honor, Our point is this, primarily, and I see I'm running short here, is that there's no question this is a vested retirement benefit. There's no question, if you look at the Wisconsin cases, for instance, Schlosser, that says once you have retired, those benefits are yours. When this woman retired, she was not paying any cost for her health care.
We're not talking about pension. No, we're talking about benefits, just
co-pays, deductibles,
yeah.
Co-insurance, that is all. And in fact, the county has Medicare for those who are eligible as the primary payer. So we're really talking about that portion.
And they pay a premium.
Correct. So yeah. So that's what the case is about. But the county has consistently said that, as you've pointed out, Judge Lee, that the retirees are the same as the active employees. But as I said, they've treated them differently throughout. And you can't find the language anywhere, anywhere, that says that the retirees should be the same as the actives. I see I'm running out of time here.
So you better reserve the rest.
I will.
All right.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Levy?
May it please the court, my name is Alan Levy. I'm here for the County of Milwaukee. And we would like you to affirm the district court decision. We think the ordinances do exactly what has been denied by our opposing counsel. The ordinances say, here's the benefit for actives. And that's 17.14.7A. And then, later on, it says, retirees who are eligible, and there's this cutoff in the late 80s, early 90s, but retirees who are eligible for that benefit shall continue in the same plan, and the county will pay the premiums. It says, more specifically, if you're an eligible retiree, you get what 17.14.7A provides. Well, how can it be anything but the same thing as actives? And that's exactly our point. Over the years, for exactly the reasons mentioned already, it's been very, very difficult for the county to continue to afford these Cadillac plans that pay absolutely everything with no deductibles, no copays, nothing. But if we go back to that period in 1989 and 1993, when a distinction was drawn between those hired before 94 and those hired after, what you see is that this constant reference to the full monthly cost or premium, or a variation on that language, appears in 17.14.7B, where it says, for people who are hired later, they get the actives plan if they pay a monthly fee. And it sets out different fees.
They got to pay a premium.
They have to pay a premium.
The ones that are older don't pay a premium just for the to be covered.
Correct.
As far as coming under the policy.
Correct. And because sometimes the county was self-insured and sometimes they used insurance, sometimes they called it a cost and sometimes they called it a premium, but it was always the monthly payment. And nobody has treatments that are monthly. Treatments are sporadic, as needed. And so, as the court below said, that reference to monthly payments means the premiums.
Ms. Lussie, at this point, is not paying a monthly premium. Is that correct?
That is correct. The county continues to pay whatever it takes for her to get covered, the same as an active. And they go on to say that even when she gets onto Medicare, which she did a long time ago, whatever Medicare doesn't pay, the county makes up. So that, and here's the key, so that she always pays no more than an active employee would pay.
And that's a limiting floor, isn't it? I mean, the county can't all of a sudden one day say, you know, we're going to pay a $5 premium and we're going to charge all the retirees and they can pay self-pay everything because the floor is what they have to pay their actives.
Exactly.
And in order to be competitive out there for adequate employees, they have to provide at least market rate insurance coverage for health care benefits.
That is exactly the expectation. And for that reason, without saying the same thing over and over again, our basic position is we continue to pay the premiums to provide the same benefits that active employees receive. Now, a couple of points have been raised that I think require some kind of comment. For example, there is a difference between pension plans and health insurance plans. And so we have to put to one side the citations and counsel's briefs about pension cases. There's a different kind of vesting there. Beyond that, BIDLAC, to use an example, is one of the many cases that didn't talk about the content of the insurance policy for health insurance. It talked about whether or not the person got the insurance. Was a promise of lifetime benefits going to be limited or ended because of the supporting language and labor contracts and such? We're not trying to stop the benefit. We do intend to pay it for life. Similarly, there are cases that talk about other kinds of benefits that are totally ended. For example, the Schlosser case to which counsel made reference. That was a life insurance policy where after the people retired, the employer tried to eliminate the life insurance. We're not trying to eliminate anything. We're simply trying to continue this program of giving them the same thing that actives get. Now, the only other thing I'd add to this is...
May I interrupt this?
Yes, Your Honor.
If they went 30 years, however, and received full pay for every expense, is that correct?
Most of the time, and I say that because at one point there was an HMO and a PPO, and if you took one, you didn't get everything paid. If you took the other, you got 100% paid, that kind of thing.
But that is a substantial difference between what active employees ultimately received under subsequent plans, is it not?
Well, there has been a significant change in that policy in the last year or so. You're absolutely right. And everybody is paying more toward their treatments.
So in a practical sense, the grandmother is not getting the same benefits as the active.
If I may, Your Honor, she is getting what everybody was promised. She was vested to get the right to continue in the active plan at no premium cost. The active plan had very small changes at different times. She never had to deal with those because of her treatments and her recollection that nothing ever came up. If she'd been an HMO whenever it was available, she probably would not have had to pay anything.
Well, I assume that I on Medicare, which I'm not on, I assume that whatever Medicare coverage is, if that's the primary coverage, and then the county supplements, it must kind of change the equation. In Medicare, you got to pay some kind of a premium, I guess.
The county pays the Medicare Part B premium.
Oh, okay.
Right. And the county...
Okay, so they do that.
They do that.
All right.
And in addition, they pay whatever additional amount over the Medicare benefit is necessary so that the employee never pays, or the retiree, never pays more than what the active employee would have to pay for the same treatment.
By the combined gives the same coverage. It's just a different formula, but the bottom line is that they get the same coverage for being eligible. And
yes.
Comes to copay and whatever that is, I guess that's, I don't know how copay works on Medicare.
There are different kinds of copay, if I may. There's a copay for premiums. There's a copay for treatments. Like every time you go to the office visit, you have to pay $30. That's your copay. And the county will pay, doesn't have the same kind of copays as some, but not the same. They'll pay over and above the Medicare payment whatever it takes so that the cost to the employee is the same, right, whether or not they're active or retired. Now, just one last point about all this, because I see I'm getting close to the end of my end, and that is counsel spent a lot of time talking about what was promised long ago. And I just want to make one point, that is that in the booklet which explained the benefit back in, I believe, 1991, and this is Exhibit C on page 8 of the appendix, an affidavit plaintiff provided. The plan was explained this way. If an active employee retires, properly eligible, and is currently enrolled, the retiree may participate in the health plan in which he or she is currently enrolled on the same basis as coverage provided to the active employee group. The county will make the full premium contribution on behalf of the retiree. That's the way it was explained when she retired. That's the way it's explained now. That's the way it works now. And for those reasons, we request that the district court's decision be affirmed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Ernie? Well, we'll give you a minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, just following up on that last point, there is two primary people, Matthew Hancheck, the benefits administrator from Milwaukee County, and Rick Session, the county board deputy director of human resources, testified that the copays, deductibles, and coinsurance are nothing more than cost-shifting premium costs in a different way. That can be found at the appendix, the Hancheck testimony, 120 to 121, and the Session testimony, appendix 157 to 159. These are nothing more than taking the premiums, as they say they owe, and shifting the cost of that, which they say they would pay for, to the retirees, and in this case, Esther Hussey. So with all that being said, and all the case law that all says that once you retire, in effect, you get your benefits, and at the time that this woman retired, she was having fully paid health insurance. She comes before this court today asking that she be restored to where she was the day she retired in 1991. I would ask that you reverse the judgment of the trial court. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thanks. This case will be taken under advisement. Thanks to both counsel.